Welcome, everyone. I'm Ivy Rivera. I'm a psychic medium, a Taíno Arawak, and this is episode number 4 of my late night circus show. Why did I create this show? Because I tend to look at the world as being a dark circus. It seems like a ludicrous performance to me, where there's always some type of curious activity going on. There are always a bunch of clowns running around controlling things. And there's always some dark underlying secret that's about to be revealed. I can't look away. I don't want to be a part of it. I bought my ticket for the show, even though I don't want to be a part of it. And I just am fairly obsessed with watching, and I have been my entire life, how things are connected. So I see the world almost like a spider web, and everything interacts one way or another. So I look at current events, trending, viral, you know, news stories, what's happening in, you know, Hollywood, for example, everything. I look at everything and I notice that certain things stand out to me that are happening currently or have been like maybe hidden from the past. And I can see how they fit in with the spiritual evolution of humankind and where we're supposed to be developing now, what it's going to mean into the future. And I'd like to lean into those stories and see how we can all positively affect the higher vibration and not just close our eyes to the craziness and the madness of the world, okay, and sort of opt out entirely. So we're going to be breaking down quite a few stories tonight. I know on my last show, I said I probably wouldn't be back because this is massacring all of my channels. This does a tremendous amount of damage to me in the algorithm because I'm speaking on a bunch of topics I'm not allowed to speak on, pretty much every single one. And I decided I don't really care. I'm going to keep going. You guys seem to be loving the show, so please do give support in the comments and let me know if this is something you want to see continue. Donations are appreciated because it's very hard for me to make any money lately off of any of my channels as this is destroying everything. And I am looking at other platforms like podcast type platforms, maybe, okay, where I won't see this level of interference. Just a reminder to you guys on TikTok, if you didn't hear me earlier, they will be shutting me down. It is a matter of time. They now shut me down on every single live I do, regardless of what I'm talking about. So switch over to YouTube at Ask Ivy. All right, so let's get into it. Late Night Circus episode number 4. What is our first topic, Jill? All right. When Trans Day shares the stage with Easter. So this was absolutely incredible. We saw that Trans Day this year, which does not move, mind you. Okay. Easter moves. Trans Day does not move. So this year, National Trans Day of Visibility Easter happened to fall, I should say, on this day, March 31st. Now, Trans Day started in 2009. For those of you who weren't aware, I was not aware of this. I had from time to time maybe seen something about it. But I don't think it's gotten the kind of publicity and push that it should have gotten. And it's, you know, nothing more than an opportunity for us to celebrate our trans brothers and sisters and theys and whatevers, you know, and to appreciate the amount of vulnerability, you know, that it took and bravery that it took for them to fight and to come out and be in the forefront year after year with all of the discrimination and all of the brutality and theft of their rights. And they just keep going. Okay. So it's just a way for us to support them. And yet I haven't heard a ton about it over the years, but that has changed. So what I believe the bigger spiritual evolutionary lesson is on this Easter/Trans Day falling right on the same day is greater understanding of what Jesus would do. So I just think it's interesting that Biden came out and recognized, he proclaimed Trans Day as being, his quote was, he's applauding the courage and contributions of trans Americans, and he condemned anti-trans laws from various states. And no sooner did he come out supporting it that the right attacked and has been continuously attacking him. Republicans saying that he set it up this way, that he created this, that he's trying to destroy Easter. Okay. And the Christians lost their minds. Okay. So for those of you who aren't familiar with what's going on in America, we're quickly, rapidly becoming a Christian nationalist cesspool that's deteriorating right before our eyes. And so this just really allowed them to feed the flames of like yet another culture war. And I think it was very telling of the way they spoke so horribly about, you know, trans rights and everything, because it was a day where we were supposed to also be celebrating Jesus. Duh. You know, like how bigoted. The hypocrisy, this circus performance that they put on, like they're Christians. It was ridiculous. It was hilarious. And I thought it was absolutely beautiful to watch how many people were now becoming aware of Trans Day visibility only because it fell on Easter. A lot of people didn't know it existed at all, and it blew up. So now the trans community is getting more support than ever, and this will continue to grow in the future. So I also think it's funny that every time they spoke out against it or attacked Biden or whatever, every time they did that, they just brought more attention to it. Because again, it could have almost gone unnoticed a little bit, you know? All right, we're going to move on to another story. So we have the first ever over-the-counter birth control. Oh my God. Part of me can't believe it took this long. Like what? You know, but again, it's a form of entrapment to keep something like an over-the-counter birth control away from women. It's a way for America, especially our for-profit medical system, to pull in that cash by always forcing you to come for a checkup and a follow-up and get a prescription, and on we go, right? And that is changing. The first ever no prescription necessary birth control is landing on shelves as we speak. And it was supposed to be, they were saying the first week of April. So it's hitting Walgreens, CVS, and you don't even have to leave your house. You just order it on Amazon. It's called Opill. Like amen to Opill. And we are going to see from this what I've been talking about for years, since at least 2019, of the peak of the revolution and the creation of the new world and the dying out of the old, with that being led by women and indigenous. We're going to see that this creates and is a rebuttal directly. This creates freedom and is defying all of the attempts from Roe v. Wade being overturned. And I'm not saying those things aren't significant, that we don't need to keep fighting those battles and get things in order. Okay. But this is going to correct a lot of the abuse against women and just general entrapment. Okay. Across the board. So pretty amazing. And my cats are fighting, and I don't know if you guys can see that. But this is all they do nowadays, because they're just dying for spring to really be here. And in New York, it's like here and then gone, and then here and then gone. So let's move on to another story. Okay, I love this one. Women are marrying women. Non-sexual marriage among women as a resistance, as part of the revolution. Just a reminder that I believe it was January 20th, we had Pluto move into Aquarius, all right, which is the revolution. It is women taking over, right? All of this transition from the old way into the new way. And we know that the next thing the government will try to go after as women who are joining the 4B movement. If you're not familiar with the 4B movement, I've been speaking on this the last month, month and a half. You can go back and watch Late Night Circus episode number 2. I also did a full Roots Revival church service on it called the 4B movement, women's rights. So go watch, you know, what this is all about. But there, the attempts by the government to force us back into the patriarchy, things like taking away our autonomy and reproductive rights, you know, making abortion illegal, all of this. We have also seen, and I covered this on episode number 3, how women in, I believe it's now 5 different states, cannot legally divorce their husbands while they're pregnant. Mind you, women are more likely than ever to be victims of homicide during their pregnancies, one of the leading causes of death, and to be assaulted more frequently, but also like to greater degrees than they had been. So pregnancy is a very dangerous time for women. And these 5 states have now passed laws not allowing women out of their marriages with their abusive husbands. So it's just a series of things like this, you know, that have led women to figure out what the next step is going to be. And that will be that we are taxed, we are financially abused by the system if we remain single. So just like people who are married get all these tax breaks, women who decide to remain single will be penalized for that. Okay, because how many cards do they have left to play in the patriarchal system? Not too many. So this is coming sooner than later. And what women have decided to do about it is to mimic African traditions where women marry women, and to get in alignment with a matrilineal, matriarchal line that protects their power. It generates more wealth. It helps. Women in America are talking more about how it really helps them just split the division of labor. And it will bring with it, obviously, all types of tax breaks and securities there. And women are finding that marrying a friend is looking a lot like, it reminds me of the Golden Girls, you know, how they just sort of split everything. You know, they even went grocery shopping together and just seemed like divvy everything up. It was something I think a lot of us women thought about as little girls. Like for me personally, I never planned on getting married. I never planned on having kids. I never planned on, you know, I mean, any of that. It honestly never crossed my mind. What I thought I was going to do was write and travel and live with a bunch of girlfriends. So I realize now that was probably more of a vision. Probably more of us were having psychic prophecy, right, about that than anything. And it wasn't just because of like the Golden Girls show. It was the way to live. It was what was coming for us. So women nationally have reduced drastically the involvement of heterosexual marriage. So women are not marrying heterosexual. I feel like I can't talk today. This is like Mercury in retrograde in full force. Like I can feel it in every way. And because of that, those that don't want to remain single or they want to sort of, you know, get ahead of what's coming are choosing this marriage with friendship and finding it to be hugely beneficial also to their mental health and well-being. So I love this. We'll be hearing more about this. And a lot of them have said that the reason they chose this is because, yes, they want the safety from tax penalties that are probably coming or already exist for singles. They want to maintain their power in society, and they have had greater realizations about the value of their female friendships more so than ever. So we really are truly putting each other up on the pedestal where we belong. And they want to counteract the abuse that they feel from men in society not showing any gratitude for all the resources they bring to the table. There you go. All right. Pretty amazing. All right. We're going to move on to another one. Six Mississippi monsters. The goon squad cops are imprisoned. This makes me sick. We're back to Mississippi. I feel like every time I come on here, I'm talking about Mississippi, I'm talking about Texas, I'm talking about some creepy thing that happened in Ohio. What goes on, okay, with these places? Like, so gross. Mississippi's back in the news. For those of you who aren't familiar with the story of Emmett Till, the 14-year-old who in, I think it was 1952, was brutally murdered, you know, we... And keep in mind, people who caused his murder were directly involved with his murder. They're still alive, some of them. Okay, so this isn't like it happened hundreds of years ago. Not that that wouldn't still be terrible. It happened a minute ago. Okay, they're still alive. They're getting to live their best life. Old people with wealth, I'm sure, you know, eating out, loved by their families when they should be sitting in prison. For what they did. So just remember, that's what Mississippi has, is a underlying haunted energy in the space. And we see stories like this pop up like crabgrass out of this place all the time. Horrifying. So the Mississippi Goon Squad, these are the cops that they're referring to in this particular part of Mississippi. Are actually having some justice served to them on January. Well, it was, what was it? January 23rd. I think I have this right. January of 2023. There were two gentlemen, Eddie Parker and Michael Jenkins, who were staying at a friend's house who happened to be white. She was a white woman. They were staying with her, and a white neighbor saw that they were there and turned them into the cops. The cops, without a warrant, busted in with tasers. They tased these men, and for hours, they brutalized them, shot them, tortured them, sexually assaulted them, and thought they were going to get away with it, clearly, because they didn't even kill them or try to like bury the bodies or like cover up the story. Like, they literally thought they were going to get away with it. Now we know why. Because apparently the Goon Squad is named after a cop who had been running the town about 25, 30 years ago, and his last name was Goon. And he started this Goon Squad where he would train up all the cops to brutalize Black people in the community. And anyone who was going to move up into like deputy position, for example. So the one guy who went away for the longest amount of time is named Christian Deadman. And he became, at 28 years old, deputy, because he agreed to being part of the assault and abuse against members of the Black community. Those that he took a vow to protect and serve, mind you. These are the cops in America. So when he agreed to do that, they moved him up to deputy, just 28 years old. Now under him, so he's known as the ringleader, okay? So under him, any other cop who's going to move up the ranks has to agree to brutalize black members of the community. And they have been. So six were arrested for this particular crime, okay? And I'll break that down. But research is showing, as more and more brave souls are coming forward and admitting that they were sexually assaulted by these cops, that they were brutalized by these cops, that they were harassed by these cops for no reason, without warrants, no reason to arrest them. People are coming out of the woodwork from even 25 years ago. And I believe it's at this point over 100 people have come forward. And a lot of them, who knows if they'll ever speak. This is hard for victims to do. It's a reliving of what happened to you, even though you're reliving it every single day of your life. But potentially on a public platform, we're going to be hearing more about this story. Okay. But here's where the justice comes in. And I think everyone in Mississippi is shocked by the amount of justice, which isn't enough, but okay, it's more than we've ever seen. So Deputy Christian Deadman, the ringleader, was referred to by Eddie Parker and Michael Jenkins, who were like raped by him and all these. The one guy was shot in the face. I think it was Michael Jenkins was shot literally in the mouth and lived through this. They referred to him as being the devil. They felt like they were literally interacting with Satan himself, which is, you know, creepy and accurate. So he got 40 years. Sentenced to 40 years. The U.S. District Court Judge Tom Lee sentenced these men, said he committed the most shocking, brutal, and cruel acts imaginable, and gave the other cops, looks like 17 years. One got 20 years, another one got 17 and a half years. So they all got basically like in the ballpark of somewhere from 17 and a half to 20 years. And then the one guy 40. Okay, so it's sending a statement to these rogue cops all over the country, but, you know, especially in the South where things like this go unpenalized chronically. That they're not going to be getting away with it anymore. And it's about damn time. So this was a breakthrough. I'm so happy these men survived it. I don't know that they probably feel that way every day. But I think we really need to give them support. You know, we need to keep praying for them and manifesting for them that they have the strength to continue to speak out. So brave, so bold. And as they do, more and more people are. Okay, so this is how we bring revolution to the system. Now, I believe this story is important for a few reasons. I believe this is Emmett Till's little spirit coming back yet again, getting justice as we go. And we have to remember that once we pass away, we continue to work with karma. I think that this is also part of the revolution I talk about a lot starting in 2019, where the dying out of the old world and the systems really began, and it peaked in 2019 with the LGBTQIA community and our Black communities. Now, I also say that wasn't the end of it. That was the beginning of it, and we'll see more and more of this. So Black community is leading the way in the revolution. Pretty amazing. All right, let's move on to another story. Let me get rid of some of my papers here. Just a reminder to everybody tuning in, I forgot to ask you to please give this video a thumbs up, drop a comment of any kind. It helps me out in the algorithm. And if you want to subscribe, that would be great, especially here on YouTube. You know, please subscribe. This is my main channel. And for those of you who are tuning in through any of the other platforms, if you could switch over to YouTube at Ask Ivy, that would be great. Also, if you want to hit that join button on YouTube to become a member, feel free to do so. Donations are appreciated. And for those of you tuning in through TikTok, Jill, my producer, has been dropping a note to you to switch over to YouTube before they shut me down, because they shut me down on every live show I do. Don't say I didn't warn you. All right. Also, on a story like this, what do I think we can all do to show them support? You know, we say things all the time like love and prayers to the family, you know, light and love. What can you do? You could speak out. You could share this video. You could take this and chop it up into a short. You could run it as a reel. You could talk about it more. We need to give them real encouragement, which shows up as support. in our ability to use whatever platform we have access to back them, okay, in a real way. Oh, yes. Jill, thank you. Also, you guys, post your questions and comments. I will be taking them as they're relevant to the story I'm talking about or at the end. Okay, so about anything. And if there are things you want to see me talk about, go ahead and post that as well. I'll do the best I can today, or I'll take it into consideration for future shows. Hey, get out of there. Go on. Let's move on to another one. Possession and Christianity, seven passengers freed. This story also makes me sick, so I'm not going to spend too much time on this one. But for those of you who are not aware, there was a show on YouTube I had never heard of until all of this went down, but it was called Seven Passengers, I believe. And there was a woman running the channel, really popular, like viral show. And the idea behind it, right, her name was Ruby Frankie. And she ran this show with her husband, Kevin Frankie, and their, I believe it was six kids, some of them a bit older, you know, a few of them younger. And it was essentially a Christian show where they were talking about how to instill Christian values into your children through parenting techniques. And those techniques were abuse. And they had a massive following, right? Because we have to think about the foundation of Mormonism, the foundation of, I was going to say LSD, the opposite. The foundation of Latter-day Saints, okay, the foundation of Catholicism, the foundation of Christianity, most aspects of it, all of it, okay, all of it. It's a cult. They're just variations of one cult based on fear, based on punishment, based on what you cannot have. What? And the threat of, if you step out of alignment from these rules, you'll end up possessed. The devil will get you. You're out of the umbrella of safety, right, of God and the patriarchy and your parents. Well, they took it to new heights. Now, I did not find this story to be different from many other stories I hear from the Mormon community or any extreme Christian community. I really didn't think it was that big of a deal. However, I'm talking about it because it was the amount of followers they accrued and the exposure this got that makes it a different story. It was also some of the things I heard when I fell down the rabbit hole researching this. I felt like something turned at some point and there was more to this story than what met the eye. And that was in regards to possession. And I was like, now I see what's happening here, because possession is a massive problem in the Christian community. And this is a great example of how it can play out and drag everyone else involved down with them to points of criminality. So let's take a look at the story. Ruby Frankie, who ran the YouTube channel Seven Passengers, she eventually, I guess, got so obscene with her strict rules and saw a reduction by something like 90% of the money she was making and or the subscribers that were there for her channel. At that time, she needed some miracle to come along and save her. And this woman, Jody Hildebrandt, showed up. Jody Hildebrandt was basically a cult leader, from what I've gathered, who was maybe a closeted lesbian, who was teaching women in other branches of cults throughout Christianity and Mormonism to like leave their husbands and come to me, basically. Okay, things like that. She would like live in houses with them. She was setting up these almost like commune-like systems. ultimately what ended up happening was that Ruby Frankie and Jody Hildebrandt came together. And when they did, it salvaged and started making profit for both of them again. So Ruby Frankie said that she left behind her YouTube channel, not because it was at a 90% failure rate. She said she left it behind because basically God instructed her to, and, you know, Christ was telling her that it would be more holy if she didn't do it anymore because it was bringing Satan into her children, and her children were, I don't know, becoming possessed or some crap. And it starts to sound, yeah, you know, right around that time, using words and phrases like that, like schizophrenic episodes to me, okay, potentially. And I can't prescribe a diagnose. But when we're talking about maybe a severe bipolar episode, we're talking about psychosis, we're talking about schizophrenia, you know, these things often go hand in hand with possession or paranormal attachments or haunted activity. Now, I believe in mental health conditions, and I believe in eternal life, which means energy does not die, it just transforms. So I believe that there are spirits in the light, and I believe there are spirits in the dark. Do I call it the devil? Do I call it Satan? No, not necessarily. But I get where a lot of this is coming from. And if you feed it, you will get more of it. That is a guarantee. And I know, because I have witnessed it and I've been working with it since childhood, but for the public for over 13 years with hauntings and haunted people and places and exorcisms and on and on and on. So it's a very real thing, but we have to stop treating the Christian community as though it is not mentally ill. We have to stop. These leaders are driving this level of mental illness constantly and adopting it as normal. Saying that it's possession or it's attachment or, you know, it's Christ trying to get the devil out of them. And they all just support it instead of going and seeking out mental health counseling and care or medication or whatever. And then they go on leading the country, getting tax cuts, okay, at the churches and whatnot. Okay, so this is a massive, has always been a massive problem, but this goes to prove how out of control this is. So time and time again, Jody Hildebrandt and Ruby Frankie were going from group to group and I guess just accumulating mass followings of people. They also branched out online again. And again, they had a massive following there. And essentially, what they did was went off the rails. Jody believed that she was possessed. And there were many eyewitnesses to this actually happening. Jody said that only Ruby could save her. And Ruby had to get rid of her husband, right? Now, mind you, she is a closeted lesbian. I mean, there's no doubt about this, you know, because they were doing something weird with orgies to cleanse themselves and other people too. So like, what, you know, the idea was, let's get rid of the husband. Let's bring Jody into the bedroom. Ruby. So Jody and Ruby started sleeping together every night. And during that time, you know, there would be crazy noises in the house. I think that went beyond anything sexual, but there was actually paranormal activity. And, you know, Jody had been dealing with this possession, I guess, for like a year or so, where at night it would activate, which is normal for possessions. She would be thrashing about. Different parts of the Christian community had been trying to give her exorcisms and they just were not successful. So a lot of people had been working with her, but she claimed that only Ruby could kind of calm the devil in her or whatever. Now, it did get to a point during the day where other people would enter into the living space, which had become almost like a commune. It looked like a compound. If you look at the house that they were living in, it was something like 12,000 square feet, like secret rooms and dungeons, where they were torturing these children of Ruby's. And when people would come in to the property, they testified that things were flying off shelves, that there were weird noises. It's called energy throwing, right? When I do paranormal work, I always watch for energy throwing. Like, do I hear a noise over here and over here? Is stuff moving? It's kind of like a poltergeist. This was going on. Okay. Plenty of eyewitnesses. But it was what they did to the children that was the most disturbing. They had these kids locked up in these rooms. I guess this went on for like maybe 2 years or longer than that. I'm not sure, but the oldest kids had sort of escaped the system a bit, but didn't go back to rescue the younger ones. One of the older boys had not slept on a bed for like a year, year and a half. He was forced to sleep on a beanbag, so essentially sleep on the floor for something he had done wrong. He was paying $900 out to get church therapy, okay? And they were just basically stealing all his money. This is how they were treating the kids. Now, the younger ones had weights around their ankles. They were chained up. There were dungeons with like handcuffs and all kinds of horrible, torturous devices. They were being starved. They were emaciated. They were being socially isolated for extended periods of time. When they were rescued, the younger brother said about the younger sister, he had not seen her in something like 6 months. Okay, so this is how long they were sitting in these rooms alone. Horrifying. Absolutely. Don't even watch it. Don't watch any of the footage on this. What ended up happening was that the little boy got out somehow, and the dad had basically just abandoned them. He just left. When Jody said, essentially, I want your wife, he was like, okay. And he just like never came back. He like never rescued the kids, nothing. And he's not doing any time. So, you know, if anything, it sounds like he's supporting his wife. If you listen to the interviews with him, so he lost his mind long ago, but that's what a cult does. You know, it was like a brainwashing programs. He thought he was evil too. You know, he was basically being treated like the kids, like they were trying to like get the devil out of him. So Jody and Ruby had been saying to their audience, and all these other Christians believed it, and what they were saying about the kids was that they were possessed, they had the devil living in them, and they had to essentially get the devil out. And the way they were going to do that was through starvation, isolation, all the things I mentioned earlier. But also, they had them doing things like, and they proudly speak of this in interviews, the mother especially. She'll say, well, they weren't allowed to have any water, and I would put them out in direct sun, like when the sun was at its peak in like 90 degrees plus. I would take their shoes away, and they were wearing very little clothing, so they were directly like burning in the sun. And she would have them walking barefoot through like cemeteries that had a lot of like broken glass and shrubs and, you know, dirty parts of town to pick up garbage. Can you even fathom? Okay, tell me this isn't something paranormal. When a mom is doing that to her kids in an abandoned cemetery for countless hours, so the kids were basically like passing out. They would eventually just stop begging for water and food and for shade, and they would just like pass out, right? Drag them back, put them in their dungeon room. And the little boy got out. So long story short, he gets out. He runs to a neighbor's house, and this old man immediately called the cops and the EMTs because this child was skin and bones, and he had duct tape and blood, and you could see where the chains had been around his wrists and ankles. And he said, you know, my sister's trapped there. There are other kids there, whatever it is. And when the EMTs got there, I believe there were 6 of them. Every single one of them said that at some point they had to back away. They all broke down and cried. They could not believe what they were looking at. This is a shocking situation. And again, I don't think by any means this is uncommon in the Christian community. I watched it growing up in the Catholic community. You know, people act like it's something we fix within our group. You know, but whatever, you don't go to therapy for it. And this will bring more exposure to the dysfunction and the high levels of mental illness, I hope, because of the amount of followers they had in the Christian community. And how, you know, when they have this amount of hatred and paranoia for other people, they should not be running anything, contributing to anything, having a say over anyone else's rights. They really did believe that these children were evil and full of the devil. And there was very little telling of like anything that the kids even did wrong. It was basically for existing. Even in court, she really couldn't come up with anything that they did wrong. Like maybe saying that they were hungry, you know, or asking for water when they were told to stop or something like that. We see that she got, I believe it's 70 years, 60 years. Utah Judge John Walton sentenced up to 16 years, 4 counts of second degree felony child abuse to the mom. And Jody Hildebrandt got the same ballpark, or it looks like she's getting the same, about 60 years. And dad walked away free. Oh, well, he could just abandon his kids knowing these things are going on. And I guess that's enough. That's enough for him. All right. Another crazy story out of the church. Is possession real? Yeah, it sure is. Is mental illness real? Yeah, it sure is. And they often come hand in hand. And what you feed, you get more of. And what you heal, you get less of. And it needs to be dealt with. This is ludicrous. These poor kids. All right. So let's move on to another story. Okay, you guys, feel free to post any questions or comments that you have. And as they apply, I will address them, or I'll be taking them at the end. Okay, thank you, Jill. So next story we have is women astrology and the human race extinction. Oh my, let's take a look at what's happening with this. Are we going extinct? Maybe. Keep pissing us girls off. And yes, okay, we're more than happy to let everything go extinct. Can't get much worse at this point for us. So we really have nothing to lose. So what we're seeing is that the women, current day women, are driving the human race toward extinction. This is looking like right now. Let's just take South Korea, for example. Again, if you missed my episode number 2 on the 4B movement or my church service on the 4B movement, you may want to check that out to get educated on what the 4B movement is. Essentially, in South Korea, starting in 2019, but now it's in America, it's worldwide, women have cut off men. So no pregnancy, no dating, no sex, no marriage. And what that's done in the last 4 years is to cause an extremely low birth rate that is at this point dangerous, because the death rate increases, the birth rate drops. And, you know, it sounds like you could reach a point of almost no recuperation from the damage this can do. And it's now really hit home in America. So in the upcoming years, we're going to see that, because women have essentially, especially, I want to say, due to Roe v. Wade being overturned, losing our bodily autonomy, you know, the lack of abortion rights and the constant attacks on even our rights in, like, you know, marriage. We also have no rights like maternity leave. We really get no help. You know, we're forced back into the workforce so early on. There's no child care. We don't have a system here in America, for example, where we have like free health care, free child care. We get no help, no help. Okay, so a lot of women become sort of trapped in a system if they have a child. It's what causes poverty. So the number one cause of poverty among women is if you have a child. So if you have a child, you may be poor for the rest of your life. Okay, imagine what having 2 or 3 can do to you. And that's just a fact. It's always been a fact. So it's a form of abuse. And so what we're going to see, research shows that if we stay at this rate, we will see by 2050, 75% of the nations are going to be suffering these extreme conditions that that South Korea is suffering right now. So it takes about 4 years ballpark for this to hit, but 75% of the nations, because women just aren't planning on slowing down. By 2100, 95% of the nations will have this, right, lack of birth rate and extremely high death rates. So women say that they have chosen, whether it be the 4B movement or just not to have kids, whatever variation of this we're choosing. Women have said that they're doing it because they're treated like second-class citizens and they will not start any type of childbearing until poverty is addressed, until there's something done about the massive toll that it takes on women's health and happiness. And there's a general lack of appreciation for us and all the labor we do and the life that we bring by society as a whole. So, you know, what's the solution? Well, the world can take government action, legal action, real action, not words, real action, to make it worth our time and to recognize how important we are and how much power we actually hold. Otherwise, no more people. Bye. Good luck. And we don't care. We're having a blast. I mean, we're enjoying, we are living our best lives. So good luck roping us even back in under those conditions. I don't know. All right. We're going to move on to another story here. This is Gypsy Rose divorcing and claiming her freedom. I love this. I am a supporter of Gypsy Rose Blanchard because she went through horrific abuse by her mother's hand, and she was a victim of, what is it called? Something by proxy? Munchausen by proxy, I think it's called. Munchausen by proxy, where her mother pretended that Gypsy Rose had everything from cancer to epilepsy, had glands removed so her teeth would fall out, to mental delays. I mean, she had a feeding tube. I mean, it's an unimaginable story. If you have not seen some of the victims of Munchausen by proxy, you may want to look into it. But Gypsy Rose's story was especially, I thought, unique because I spotted it as a story where there was witchcraft going on. There was hoodoo being used. And if you missed my Late Night Circus episode number one, where I talked about the hoodoo and the witchcraft and the things that were going on that her mother was using on the medical system and everything, right? You may want to check that out. But today, Gypsy Rose has gotten out of prison for murdering her mother after all of that. And she immediately left prison to go live with this guy, Ryan, that she had married, who had been like sending her letters in prison. And I always felt that he was predatory. I wasn't going to say anything while she was still with him, but I'll say it now. That was a predatory situation in my eyes. Because he was working with disabled kids. He got fired from his job as a teacher working with disabled kids when he got together with Gypsy Rose, who was essentially a disabled kid. After watching her story, he just said, oh, whew, I am just attracted to this. Woo! It turns me on. And he ended up, you know, hooking up with her, and she, I think, didn't clearly see how twisted that was. She has a lot of life experience to accumulate. She has a lot of learning to do. She has a lot of growth to do. It was stolen from her. And I want nothing more than to see her get out into the world and do normal things. Maybe at some point live independently from her family, have a job, buy herself nice things, take care of her mental health, heal from all the torture she went through. And being with him was never going to allow that to happen. He saw all the red flags of how it wasn't going to work out, but he wanted that marriage. And he was in the spotlight and saying, why did she choose me? There were so many other men that were after her. Why me? Why me? And he just basked in that, you know, and he just reeked of low self-esteem and creeped me the F out. And I think that her quotes here really say it all. She reached this point now where she left him and she went back to live with her very supportive family down in the bayou. So this is all happening in like Louisiana, I believe. And she said, I am learning to listen to my heart. And then she said, I need time to figure out who I am. Bingo, Gypsy, bingo, okay? And that is a good lesson for all of us. And I think that with all eyes being on her, and her phenomenal story of horror and her incredible life of healing and support and show of strength to the world that she is telling, I think this is something that really needed to happen. Okay. This is good for all of us. And I know she wants her life to be a symbol of progress and transmutation. And this really makes it so, you know, because this was looking like a huge momentary fail there. Okay. I think that we see a lot of these, you know, predators latching on and doing anything that they can to like be the hero and stay in a place of codependency to really siphon her energy and basically like entrap her. How did he not know, as a grown man who had been living out in the world his entire life, a white man who has everything laid out in front of him, a smorgasbord of opportunities, how did he not know she would need a little space? Let's suffocate her, shall we? You know, and at every warning sign, again, he locked that thing down. I mean, even tighter. He was just twisting that ring on her finger. You know, it was gross. So anyways, I'm happy for her. I hope she just keeps on driving down that road of independence and freedom. So more Gypsy Rose stories. All right. Good for her. Let's move on to another one. I only have a couple left. What do we have? Predators of the month. P. Diddy and Nickelodeon. I'm not going to say too much on this. There's so much in the media. You don't even have to look. I'm surprised if it hasn't been shoved down your throat already. Looking at these clowns just makes me sick. And I'm not surprised to hear any of this whatsoever. But we see that P. Diddy had the feds raid his property for like hours, and he's being charged with all types of things. Mostly, I guess they're focusing on the trafficking, and children have come forward. Co-stars have come forward, or whatever, movie stars. I don't know. He's a singer, but whatever, you know, people in Hollywood, people in the media, people in the music industry have come forward, and people who worked for him have come forward, and they've said crazy stuff about how he would force them to go out. Like as one of the workers said, I was forced to go out and collect prostitutes and then also other people from the industry and put together these like massive orgies and things like this on a regular basis, which wasn't necessarily a big problem. People could do whatever they want, right? Kudos, have at it. But if he had any type of issue, I guess participating, he was regularly drugged. And I don't think obviously he didn't know it right away, I'm assuming. But he would be drugged. P. Diddy would drug him. And he said that he several times would wake up walking around naked, like down hallways where he didn't even know where he was. And he would get to these places where he didn't know where he was. So all kinds of sexual assault. I mean, on and on and on we go. Okay. It's just absolutely lunatic behavior. And it's all coming out. There's a lot of question about how... let me check my notes here. Some other people were involved with this. Tupac, for example, and what went on with Tupac's death. I have to do a deeper dive into how they, I don't think we have all the information yet. So I don't think I'm going to find anything yet. But there are a lot of references back to Tupac and things that he said before his murder, pointing fingers in that direction. And, you know, makes sense to me. Predators in Hollywood, coming out more and more to the forefront every day. And it really just takes that one incident for everyone to kind of come out of hiding and talk about it, you know, but that's how these things go. And we need to keep supporting it and spreading the word. Also, we saw that Nickelodeon, there was a documentary that came out called Quiet on Set. I haven't watched it yet. I would love to hear from you guys in the comments. Did you watch this? Is it worth me like getting? I'm sure I'm going to have to pay for it. So Quiet on Set documentary about Nickelodeon and the physical, mental, sexual abuse that went on from the producers, the owners of Nickelodeon. It was basically like an Epstein situation. They even showed up. Epstein's island is the exact same shape as the Nickelodeon splat, which freaked me out. And I don't always think these things are a coincidence. You know, symbology is everything. I mean, even if it is a coincidence, it isn't anymore. You know, what is the symbology there between this Epstein and Nickelodeon was such a like massive, you know, like monster production. The amount of children, adults who were children then, who have spoken out, I think is going to grow. We still haven't heard from like Amanda Bynes, for example, who, if you've followed at all, you know, she was a huge star who has gone through a lot of mental deterioration and is really struggling. She seems to be getting up on her feet, but she was the bestie of some of these producers. And, you know, this is revolutionary. So I think that these industries being exposed are part of the astrology that's been going on for the last couple years. There goes TikTok shutting me down. And I think that, you know, what we're going to see with this is more protection for children in all areas, where these elites, these people in positions of power and authority, from the priests to the nuns, right, to TV producers, to even the camera crews, okay? Because anyone who works from like Hollywood or in TV or anything, I mean, they have so much power. All of this is going to continuously be exposed. And I think it's also part of this revolution that we're seeing in the astrology, with out with the old and in with the new, where we're watching the patriarchy die, we're watching capitalism die, and we're seeing that people are getting back to their roots. And so the amount of adoration, right down literal worship at times, of stars and people just being mesmerized, you know, by the screen and the music industry and everything. Like, people will literally sell their souls, and they do, to be a part of that and to get their 15 minutes of fame. And they'll sell out anyone else. If they'll do that to themselves, they'll sell out anyone else. They'll step on anyone's back that they need to, okay, to get that. And it's lost its charm. So people are no longer infatuated with, you know, Hollywood, and it had to happen. I don't think anybody cares. I know that the awards that have got, the last few award shows that went on, it was like no one cared, literally. You see a movie star talking, it's a turnoff, right? You see some famous musician talk about, it's a turnoff. It's a turnoff. It's a turnoff. It's over. And this is a big part of that. So we see that no charges yet have been placed. Some apologies have come out, okay, but no charges yet. And more and more child actors who are now adults are coming out just because this happened. They weren't even necessarily with Nickelodeon, but they've been coming out. Even the one kid who acted on Charles in Charge, I don't know if you guys remember that show, but he spoke out against Charles, I forget his name, that actor, about the sexual abuse he endured on set. And it's just spreading like wildfire. So we're going to be hearing more about that and getting justice, I do believe, in protecting our children in the future. What kids are left to be had, okay? Let's move on to our last story here. Murderous doctors, the dangers of our for-profit system. So we live here in America in a for-profit medical system. And there are so many, many things that go wrong with that. But one of the dangers that is rarely ever discussed, because I think these stories are being covered, I also think that once you catch it on film, we've got something to work with here. And that doesn't always happen. So this is the abuse of patients for profit, basically pretending that they're sick or torturing them through surgeries so they can make more money off of them, all types of things. And this is something I think about regularly because it has happened to me repeatedly since I was a child, whether it be in the dental field or be an actual doctor or it be an OBGYN. I have had it happen to me. Now, I think some people are more likely to be victimized by the system. That would be, right, Hispanic, Black, Indigenous women, or I would say people of color of any kind, and women, you know, also those living in poverty. So it's rarely happening to like middle, upper class white people. But this time it did. And that also makes this story unique. So what we saw here was two different situations come out in a matter of weeks. And the first one was in Michigan. This doctor, 50-year-old Dr. Fareed Fatah, diagnosed over 100 patients with cancer, causing them to have extensive chemo that made them sick and all kinds of other horrible things that come along with cancer treatments. And they never had it. And he knew. So he intentionally, and this is what he said in court at his trial, I did that intentionally. I full on knew they didn't have it. Okay. This is why I'm so paranoid to go to doctors. I swear to God, let me die. Okay. If it's my time, it's my time. I will receive Reiki till the cows come home. You cannot drag me into an office. Okay. Oh my God. So these people didn't have it. He said they had cancer. He got for over 100 victims, 45 years. That's it, 45 years. So they're furious. Obviously, it is not enough. I hope they don't lay this to rest. I hope they keep coming at this for as much as they possibly can. His excuse for what he did, he said, well, I was greedy and it made me feel powerful. That's his quote. I know. All right. We also have another doctor who deliberately misdiagnosed. Okay. Oh, okay. No, this is the same one. He intentionally misdiagnosed. It actually turned out to be over 550 patients. Sorry, 550. He admitted to, he thought he was probably going to get away with if he said 100. There were over 550. He made ballpark, and I'm sure it was more than this, $17 million off of them in doing this. That's it. 45 years. 45 years he got. Then we had another doctor, Ronaldo Ortiz. This was in Dallas, Texas. He just got busted for tampering with the IV bags. So he's an anesthesiologist. He was putting drugs in the IV bags, and they caught him on camera doing it, that would cause heart attacks, cardiac arrest. And he was doing it to the other doctors. So basically, all the doctors had, you know, their IV bags in these, warmers or something. And he would sneak in there and do this. And this caused, so far, there's only 11 people who stepped forward to file the lawsuits, but they all had heart attacks. One of the people who took an IV bag home was a doctor from that hospital named Melanie Casper, and she died from it. So he may get life in prison if found guilty. And he started doing this 2 days after he was told that he was being investigated for other forms of misconduct there at the hospital. Profit, profit, profit. right? Whether it was attacking his fellow doctors to take their patients or to make them look bad, whether he was trying to frame them or it was just revenge, who knows what, but this is power and greed at its finest. And this is the American for-profit medical system that we don't see exposed every day, but should, okay? Because I know this stuff is going on 24/7 everywhere. It really is. Be careful, people. Be careful. If something feels off, it is off. What do I think the bigger astrological spiritual story is here? Well, I think that America as a superpower, the superpower that it's been, and its quick deterioration leading to so many of the citizens here just packing up their bags and being refugees and being, you know, ready and willing to go anywhere in the world that will have them, any other country. This just makes it even more so. And so we are seeing the, you know, head become the tail and the tail become the head. And this is an American problem. This is encouraging people to take very seriously the way we live in a toxic environment. We eat toxic chemicals that are illegal around the world. We have this for-profit system that takes advantage of us. Heaven forbid, you know, anything happens to us, a broken leg, or we get sick, or we get pregnant, or whatever, you know, we are going to potentially lose everything. And it is a scary, horrific place to live. And I think people are just waking up more and more, especially seeing things like this, realizing what victims they are, or that they, even if they don't feel like a victim in that city, the system, they are a sitting duck. This could happen to you at any time. And at this point, I think it's almost a guarantee that if it doesn't happen during your lifetime, by the time you hit old age and you're put in a home or you start to get sick or whatever, it'll happen then. I mean, it's going to happen. There's profit to be made off of you. You are nothing but a workhorse. And it's over. People want a quality of life. And we are willing to pack our suitcases and go wherever the world, the rest of the world will have us, where we have a shot at living well, okay, even for a little while. So this helps us right along. Let's move on to, I think this is our last story, isn't it? I believe so. Now it's a party. Strippers Bill of Rights signed in Washington. So congratulations, everyone who works in sex work. This is a big win. This is also a big win in general for women and women's rights. So Strippers Bill of Rights was signed in Washington. And Republicans are acting absolutely disgusting about this, saying things like, well, these women are choosing to be naked. What, we can't, like, you know, touch them anymore? We can't just have some fun with them anymore? I mean, blatantly on the news even, okay? So disgusting reactions from the right on this, even though they probably spend more time there than anyone. But, you know, we see that with these rights, these workers are going to have fees that are put upon them by the strip club owners and stuff limited. Okay. So the limited fees to the owners who charge the dancers, we're also going to see new protections for those workers. And yes, thank you, Republicans, for pointing out what that's probably going to look like. You know, no inappropriate touching. Okay. Stalking, assault. And they will have, I like the way this was stated. I don't know what they are and I didn't dive in deep yet, but there will be incentives and penalties, to persuade the owners into complying with the new rules. So I absolutely love this for them. It's about time. And I believe that was our last story, but I want to say we've definitely had some breakthroughs. There was also, you know, sort of a conclusion point I want to make here for the last story. This fits, and for several other ones I did earlier about some of the astrology going on the last couple of years and what it'll look like for a few years into the future and why a lot of these things are happening. So bigger picture thinking here, let's take a look at it. So in the astrology, we see that the last few years, women have really been going through the ringer. in regards to having to really address oneself, to abandon old standards, especially in relationship dynamics, and to look in the mirror and face it once and for all. And my God, have women proven to take the higher vibration and to use their karma wisely and to alchemize this pain into power, because we have really done the work. And because of, let's say, passing those tests, you know, that have been given to us the last few years, we see a rise and increase in feminine power in the universe and in internationally, obviously. So, you know, what that looks like is it's almost like getting the ball rolling. You know, what is in motion stays in motion, right? The law of motion. This is going to assist us in utilizing things like manifestation powers, law of attraction, like attracts like. So this is going to be pretty dynamic. What we are seeing, counter to that, is men going through a similar challenge now. So men are going through some challenges with Chiron, which helps you deal with your wounded healer. It's areas that are needing to do shadow work or are toxic for you. So let's just say the patriarchy and the damage the patriarchy has done to men. And that's going to be going on for several years, but we also see Saturn moving into Aries, and this is going to increase in 2025 and 2026, affecting men in these areas again. So men right now have an opportunity astrologically, spiritually, energetically to heal or to fail. And right now they're failing. So who knows what they're going to do with it? I'm not going to spend too much time on that. Okay. But that's up to their free will. What's going to happen, though, when Saturn moves into Aries, 2025 and 2026, is they get slapped with the hammer of karma. So if they don't, again, pass that test, let's say, they're going to get hit with a lot of rude awakenings. So if they think they're uncomfortable now, they got another thing coming, okay? And this is, it's a now or never thing. Now, women just went through it. Now, men are going through it. Women have succeeded. Men are failing. Let's hope they get on track. But it is karma delivery in 2025 and 2026 to men. So essentially what a lot of this meant as far as the revolution was that women, okay, astrologically are being identified as the life givers. We create, we support others. We support the community. We bring life. We, in general, whether it's creating a home, creating stability, we are able to bring life to any situation that we get involved in if we are working with our higher vibration. And because of that, there needs to be payout. And it's due now. So men are either going to have to start complying with that and giving that payout, or they're going to essentially start dying out. Okay. Because women don't need men. Men need women as life givers of all different kinds. Okay. So pretty interesting in the astrology, and we're going to watch it increase. 2025, 2026. Hope everyone gets on board. Okay, everybody, do we have any questions or comments? See, Tiana says, thank you for having me. Absolutely. Tiana joined, on YouTube because she was booted from TikTok. Yes. All right, Tiana, welcome. I know. Like I said, TikTok will never let me finish a live show. They really hate me. They hate my channel. So if you guys could always switch over, that would be great. Please do subscribe. What questions or comments do we have, Jill? If you guys didn't already do so, please give this video a thumbs up. It should be published on some platforms tonight, but it'll be published on YouTube more like tomorrow. Okay, we are at time. Thank you, everybody. It was a pleasure being here for another Late Night Circus. I have a couple other shows coming up before I do another one of these. In the meantime, if you want to send me any topics you would like to see me discuss, And again, this hits me hard in the algorithm. This damages all of my channels doing the show. So please do give it a lot of love and support and shares. Donations are appreciated. And I will see you back here. I believe I'm back tomorrow for my Ask Ivy show, where I take your personal questions and I deliver out messages from spirit. So I'll see you then. Have a great night.